Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. I hope everyone is having a great night. The big heat wave that has covered most of the country. Well, we've got a wonderful, pleasant weather, so we're so excited. We've got a fantastic show. Joining us later on is legendary Hollywood producer Shelley Leibowitz, record producer, and we're going to hear all about his musical career. It's a who's who of musicians he has worked with, and it's going to be an outstanding hour, so we hope everyone can stay with us. And remember, you can download this program free of charge anytime after the live broadcast, and we encourage you to tell your friends and listen to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Melissa Hovey, and Wayne Larson is our technical engineer. Music done by Jim Johnson, and from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Honorable, the Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Now the kids are going back to school. Are your animal educators getting reared up?
Well, they are. We are. We're excited that the beginning of school is here. So we're ready to start off on this year's tour. Hopefully we'll see about, 50,000 to 60,000 students this season. So we're ready. We're excited.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, we always, after a long, hard summer, where we kind of get away from the normal grind of the school shows, when we get back to it, to see those young faces once again and the thrill they get to see these live animals in person, it just... It's all brought back why we do this, you know. It's so important, we think. And so we'll be starting off on our 32nd year educating.
That's unbelievable.
With our animal ambassador.
32nd year.
Seems like yesterday.
That's a lot of kids you've educated.
Well, here's the thing, though, Dr. Day, is I'll be at the grocery store and someone will walk up to me, and they've got like two or three kids, and they'll say to me, I remember you when I was in elementary school, and God, do I feel old all of a sudden. So it's like, so it's we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be an exciting year. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com. Or send check or money order for $10 per copy to, got a pencil, WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for August the 11th. Well, for our first story tonight, let's head out to the West Coast tonight. We're heading out to Point Reyes National Seashore in California.
Now,
the Marine Mammal Center there has released its 10,000th sea lion. Now, the sea lion named Milestone was joined by Zodiac Girl, who was number 10,001. Now,
wow.
They were both nursed back to health at the nonprofit Marine Mammal Hospital there, which opened its doors 36 years ago. 10,000 sea lions have been cared for there.
That is incredible. That is just incredible. Gosh, what great work they do.
No kidding. 10,000, that... Yeah, that's a lot of fish.
Make a note of that, because we have to have them on our show.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, well, now here's a follow-up story that we did about, about 6 weeks ago. You remember the little penguin that traveled 2,000 miles off course from Antarctica to New Zealand?
Yep.
Well, Happy Feet, which is the name of the penguin,
mm-hmm.
he was dubbed Happy Feet, mm-hmm. is now a creature of the Internet age.
Uh-oh.
The wayward emperor penguin discovered on a New Zealand beach around June 20th, I think it was, will soon be returned.
Well, it seems we've lost Dr. Henry Day. Am I right on that, Melissa Hovey?
Actually, it appears to be on. Nope, he did drop off. So why don't we just hold on, and he should be back on shortly.
Well, I hate to hear that. That's just terrible news.
Well, let's blame the cool weather.
Well, the massive Wild World News studios have shut down in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we regret that because, as always, he has such wonderful news to report. And I did hear the story about the penguin. I think what they're doing is they're going to keep a GPS on the penguin so they can keep tabs on it. Because I guess a zoo became involved and so forth, and they're trying to nurse it back to health, and I don't know what it, absolutely all the particulars, which I'm sure his staff has uncovered. But it's just outstanding story. And how that penguin got off course thousands of miles, it's just incredible. Ended
you
up,
there?
Yes, we're there.
Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Yes, we did lose you for a second. Nice to have you back, Dr. Day.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not sure what happened there.
We'll blame it on the Taliban.
And, solar winds.
Yes, that's right.
All right, we're off to some party crashers.
Uh-oh.
A 300-pound mother bear and her cub crashed a wedding at a resort in Taos, New Mexico. Now, the bear was romping across the lawn, climbing trees, as guests grabbed their cameras for that perfect Kodak moment. Now, a New Mexico game and fish officer used a dart gun to sedate the mother as she sat in a tree about 30 foot off the ground. Now, she was later released and her cub ran off into the woods, and hopefully they were reunited and everything is fine.
I have a question. Why didn't they just tranquilize the partygoers and move them and wait for the bear to go back to the woods?
Now, see, that would have made for a much better party, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And tranquilize the guests. See, a lot of them probably would have liked that.
Well, the bear was there first.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Taos is a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, where bears live.
So you can't blame her for loving it so much.
Yes, that's right.
All right, now we're going to head off to my state of birth.
Uh-oh.
Kansas. I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
No.
All right, now listen to this. You've been the herpetologist that you are.
Yeah.
Topeka, Kansas. Hot weather has caused a rise in snake bite reports to the University of Kansas Hospital's Poison Control Center. Now, the director of the center said that there were 38 calls up from 31 in 2010, and it's still early in the season. Now, most of the snake bites were from timber rattlers and copperheads, but like they say, not all snake bites are reported, and there are probably many more that weren't phoned in.
Well, especially from the copperhead bites, because usually if you go to the hospital for that particular bite, they don't do anything because the venom's so mild. And now, timber rattlesnake's a little bit different deal because, as you know, Dr. Day.
Yes, I do. You had an encounter with a timber rattler.
That's right. I was bitten by a timber rattlesnake and spent 3 days in intensive care and a week in a hospital. And I will tell all the listeners out there, it's not a party. It's not much fun. So I feel for all the people that had to go through that.
No kidding. Well, the same thing's going on in Utah. The Logan Regional Hospital is reporting an increased bite in snake bites there this summer. So anywhere out west where it's warm, just beware. Now, did you happen to catch Well, you know the movie Snakes on a Plane?
I know of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, this last week, there was a winged creature flying down the aisle of an airplane that was in flight to, I'm not sure where they were going, but did you happen to catch that video?
I saw that video.
And what wouldn't you say, from what I saw, wouldn't you say that was a bat?
I didn't get to see it that long, but whatever you say, Dr. Day, I'm sure you're right.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was a bat. Now, the thing about it is, mm-hmm. I don't want to alarm anybody, but the bat flew towards the back of the plane, and they closed a sliding door that kind of separates the bathrooms when you get, you know, how the bathrooms are set up.
Yeah.
Well, when they went back to retrieve the creature, it was gone. They never found the bat.
Oh, they didn't?
Never found it. No, they never found it. It was just gone. So, anybody who's flying anywhere in the next few days, I don't want to alarm you, but I don't remember what plane it was or even what airline it was, but, you know,
don't worry
about it. Everything's fine.
Did they look at the plane's belfry?
No, that's a good idea. Check the belfry, because that's usually where they hang out.
I am so sorry.
Right?
I apologize to our listeners.
Yeah, you should apologize. Now, a few weeks ago, someone was traveling on a plane, and they were stung by a scorpion.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't know how the scorpion got on the plane or if it had a boarding pass or anything. But anyway, a passenger was stung by a scorpion.
Wow.
So I'm just, you know, I don't want to worry anybody flying, but well, just beware. But anyway, that brings us to our next story. Scorpion stings.
Uh-oh.
For the first time, the Food and Drug Administration has approved a treatment for scorpion stings, a Mexican-made anti-venom that eases symptoms within hours. Now, Arizona accounts for a majority of scorpion stings in the U.S., which is anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 a year.
You know how that usually happens, don't you? Because scorpions, they're nocturnal, and they'll, on their travels at night, they'll crawl into shoes or sleeping bags or into linens and that sort of thing, and someone will put on their shoes or crawl into bed, and ow, you know. That's usually how it happens.
Yep, well, let me tell you my personal experience with a scorpion. Well, as you know, I used to, when I was stationed in the service, I was in El Paso, and there are a lot of scorpions, tarantulas, rattlesnakes there. Well, I used to catch them regularly. Well, anyway, in the early 70s, I was living in Panama Canal Zone, and in those days, we had black lights and black light posters and, you know, all the stuff that went along with the era. And I had my black lights on in my room, and I lived in the maid's quarters underneath the house there because all the houses are built on concrete stilts because termites are so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I saw something come into the room, and I thought, oh, it's probably a dust bunny, you know, a little bit of breeze. Well, it was a scorpion, and it glowed in the dark. Under the black lights, it glowed in the dark.
A lot of those do that.
Yeah.
Hell,
well, that was...
Go ahead.
That was my own experience, and it was quite impressive to see that scorpion glowing in the dark.
You know, we were doing a video, and I was stung by a scorpion. But, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah.
It was kind of
painful. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
You got a lot of kids to educate. You can't be even thinking about anything like that.
No, that's right.
Not working, no, that's right.
No.
All right, let's head off to West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is taking emergency action to protect the Miami blue butterfly, which is only found in parts of the Florida Keys. Now, the action under the Endangered Species Act protects the butterfly only for the next 240 days while they're trying to figure out more permanent protection, some other, you know, particular way. So, yeah, we're trying to protect those little butterflies in Florida.
Good idea.
All right, now let's do the local news.
Okay.
All right, the Indianapolis Zoo's baby elephant has a new name.
Kalina.
They picked a name, Kalina.
Yeah.
Which means flower, love, or beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kalina was born July 20th to an African elephant, and she's the third calf and the fifth elephant born at the zoo since 2000. Now, if you want to see the new baby, it's only up for an hour and a half, two times a day. 11 o'clock to 12:30 and 2:30 to 4 a.m., 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So don't go to the zoo expecting to see it all the time.
Yep, that's
now,
right.
Now, we're coming up on a full moon, and what do we always warn our listeners?
A lot of people are bitten by animals on a full moon.
More animal bites are on a full moon than any other time of the month. Mm. Also, the next two nights, tonight and through Saturday, we're into the Perseid meteor showers.
Mm-hmm.
Best time to see them is pre-dawn, approximately 50 an hour. So if you have the chance, get out there and enjoy them.
We will.
And that's the Wild World News for August 11th.
Wow, once again, a fantastic job by the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News. We want to tell everybody to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand-new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. Join up, everybody, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, a big thank you to RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And listen to my show every Sunday, the 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7, at RadioMom.fm. Also, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, it's unbelievable. These lakes are so big, they look like an ocean. 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Unbelievable, fantastic fishing, amazing golf courses. Go to their website. They'll take care of all your needs, hotels, motels, reservations on golf courses, all sorts of other activities involved down there. Here's that website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. And also a big thank you to the iKids Fishing Show at theikidsfishing.com. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA, starring kids, teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending, listen to this, $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. It's all put on by We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York. Here's that website, www.wewanchu.com. It's one of America's finest fishing resorts. Those are some of the underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. In worn-out shoes, with silver hair, a ragged shirt, and baggy pants. He would do the old soft shoe. He could jump so high, jump so high. And then he lightly touched down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans, I was. Well, I was down and out. He looked to me to be the very eyes of age. As he spoke right out.
The sounds of Sammy Davis Jr., one of the good friends of our guest tonight, legendary record producer all the way from Los Angeles, California. It's a great honor to have, gosh, like I said, a legend in the recording industry, Mr. Shelley Leibowitz. Good evening, Shelley.
Good evening. You make me sound so old.
Oh, you're not. I didn't mean that.
Oh, legend. Yeah, legend in his own mind. I know that was those jokes, too.
Wow, the fantastic voice of Sammy Davis Jr. He brought cold chills.
To me, too. I tell you, every time I hear Sammy, it does it to me. Man was truly amazing.
Friend of yours in I understand you had a chance to work with him quite a bit. What was Sammy Davis Jr. like?
He was probably one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. Aside from that, I think best way to put this, Sammy was very kind, very gentle, very, very thoughtful. He loved everyone. He was just one of those people. You know, you meet some people who are just genuinely nice and very caring, and, you know, they just care about everyone and everything. Sammy was one of those people. Just a genuine, nice guy and a tremendous talent. You know, he was never pleased. He never thought he was that good. It was one of those deals that always amazed me. But not so unusual.
Well, it seems like the most talented individuals are the ones that never really get it. They never realize or see their own abilities. Is that true?
Well, what I've always seen is that they have a tendency to never think they're as good as they could be. And that's
mm-hmm.
really generally what makes them stand out from everyone else, because they have the desire to be better and better and better and better. You know, Ella Fitzgerald always used to do the same thing. And that is, I can tell you on a number of occasions, she'd come off stage and she'd say, "Do you think they like me?" And I say, "Ella, you just did, like, you know, 6 standing ovations." Of course they liked you. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's truly amazing that they are like that. And then you hear young people, you know, and it's all about themselves, and they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with the current climate and how things are done. Everybody wants to be an instant star. I'll just go on. I don't have to work hard at it. I could just go on American Idol, and I'll be a big star tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because they really miss something, and they don't know that they're missing it.
But, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, there's just nothing we can do about it. You know, you hope that people will learn. And more importantly for me is I just always hope that some of these people would want to be better, you know, would want to have that desire to be the best entertainer they could be. But it's not always the case, and it doesn't always happen. But, you know, like I said, we can hope.
This is probably a difficult question, but what entertainer...
Ask me a difficult question? Oh, geez.
Now,
there we go.
Yeah, because you know so many people. You know everyone in the industry, but who was the first performer, musical artist that really grabbed you, that really blew you away, and you thought, "Oh my God, this is incredible"?
You know, this will seem kind of odd because most people know me in terms of jazz more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But the first person that I ever saw that just floored me, I was a teenager, had a cousin who was a record producer, and he said to me, "You have to come with me, I want you to see something, hear somebody." So, I was this naive kid. "Sure, where do you want me to go?" You know, it's like, you know, "All right, we have a bond, we can put on a show routine," you know, that attitude. And he takes me to this place to go see. I had no idea who I'm going to go see. And I ended up seeing Buddy Holly record True Love Waits.
Oh,
my. And I am just blown away completely. First of all, he just seemed so at ease with what he was doing, which I found amazing. He did it in ease of style, but he knew what he wanted to do. And in those days, the way recordings were done, it was one, you know, it was one microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It was one take, you know, and it just, that got me. Without a doubt, I put a fork in me, I was done. I was just done. It was just so amazing to me. But when I work with a lot of other people, there's certain people, when you see them perform live especially, you know, it's just always an amazing thing when they're that good.
How did your career start? What got you into the music business?
Well, like I said, I had family in the business, and I became just an easy victim, I guess. It sounds silly, but, you know, I did. I had I was very lucky in that respect. I had family in the business. And because of that, I had the opportunity to meet people, to see people, get involved and stuff. And I just, I've been very lucky. You know, I thought, you know, I can put it, I just feel like I've been just so very fortunate that I've been able to work with some of the best people ever. And, you know, it changes your life. When you're exposed to great people, it does change your life. And, you know, to hear experiences of some of those people, and it does humble you. You can't help but have it humble you. You know, Sammy worked very hard. He started as a child star. He, like you said, I don't know any other way of life. This is the only thing I know. This is the only thing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I understand. He started as a kid with his father and his uncle, and, you know, that's what he did. But he just made it, he took it to a level that no one else has ever seen. He was just that good, that dedicated. And I think the dedication is a major part of things. When you're that dedicated to your craft and treat it with respect, and he always treated it as a gift. It was artwork to him. You know, it wasn't just a job. It was art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that becomes important because it's treating it with a certain amount of respect that it's due. And, you know, that's what he did.
He always seemed to me as a very, very sincere performer. Like, every time I would ever see him on television, that the man was just putting it all out on the table.
Well, the only way I can put it is he gave 100%, 100% of the time. Because he really did. When he hit that stage, he was going to give everything he had. There wasn't a day when it was, I don't feel, you know, like pushing it. Or, you know. Sammy just did what he could, you know, what he knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a gift. And the way he performed, you know, he loved it so. And it was very obvious when you saw his performance. People could tell that he loved what he did. It become that obvious. And it's an unusual thing, but you don't see things like that anymore. And so, you hear young performers say, well, I had a good time. And I say, I don't care if you had a good time. This is a job. I mean, you're supposed to be out there to entertain people. You know? And the first time I met Harry Sweets Edison was a member of the Count Basie Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him because I was doing some things with Basie. And he said to me something that I never forgot. And what he said to me was, when I met Basie, all I asked for was a seat on the bus and a seat on the bandstand. I didn't care if I got paid. I didn't care about anything else. That was the only thing that was important, was a seat on the bus and a seat on the bandstand.
Wow.
You hear people say stuff like that and understand the dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sweet to me. I knew I was getting the chance to work with the best band ever. And it's the only thing he cared about. And that dedication that some of those elder statesmen of music had, you don't see otherwise. And it is a big deal, you know. And I know some people don't understand. Maybe even a point of reference is the only, I'll try to be nice about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean. I think they just don't understand. And for whatever reason that they don't understand, you know, I'll give them the latitude for that. Like you're saying, you know, when you're exposed to greatness, and if you really want to be great, it doesn't just happen. You know, you have to work for it. You have to earn it. If you're willing, if you have talent, you know, you have that God-given gift, and you're willing to put yourself out to get better and work hard to be better and never settle for not being anything but the best you can be,
mm-hmm.
then those wonderful things happen, you know. The same way being in a studio with certain people, magic happens because, not because it's an accident, it's because they've earned it. They worked hard to make sure that what they do right.
I
don't care if it's a rock and roller or a jazz star or a blues star, it doesn't matter what. It mm-hmm. all comes down to the same thing, you know. You want to put yourself out there, you really want to stand out, You have to earn it. You have to work for it.
I would have to think that to hear, no, I know we've heard Count Basie on records and we've heard him on television in years past, but to hear that orchestra live, it had to be breathtaking.
It was an amazing thing. It was almost spiritual. You know, I guess that might sound a little silly to some people, but it was. That band had a sound that was just basically so unique that it gave people chills. You know, we did a show which was a tribute to Basie, Radio City Music Hall, and it was called Basie with Love.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody from, you know, Tony Bennett to Luma Horn, Joe Williams, everybody came out to tribute to Basie because Basie was very good to everyone and helped anyone and everyone you could possibly imagine get their start. You know, so the way we had it set up is at one point, all of a sudden, the orchestra came up. It's like out of nowhere, the orchestra comes up. Radio City Music Hall on the hydraulic stage. And when that orchestra came up, you heard them, a hush fell over 5,700 people.
Man.
Just an amazing sound. That band and those arranged were just, you know, far beyond anything you hear otherwise or even since. You know, it's just one of those things.
Our guest tonight, wow, this is awesome. The hour is not long enough. Shelley Leibowitz, legendary record producer from Los Angeles. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Shelley. Gosh, what a great show. Folks, you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back with Shelley Leibowitz, and we're talking a great, fantastic musical history here tonight, folks. So I hope you're enjoying the show just as much as I am, and our producer, Melissa Hovey, and Dr. Day. We want to tell everyone that next week on the program from the San Diego Zoo, Joan Embry, we're going to find out what she's been up to since her days at the Johnny Carson Show. I know she's gone to Africa and other various places around the world in her quest to save wildlife, but that'll be next week right here on Larry Batson's Wild World, Joan Embry. We also want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's Country. Go to their website at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call at 317-243-0700. And we'd like to thank all of our individual underwriters who support this broadcast. And go to the website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and contact me, and you'll find out how easy it is to be an underwriter and support our program and all these wonderful guests that we have on each week. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Look too clear. So barmaid, bring a pitcher, another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk and screw? Why don't we get drunk and screw? I just bought
sounds of Jimmy Buffett, suggested by our guest tonight, Mr. Shelley Leibowitz. Shelley.
Jimmy Buffett. That's a way to start my day.
That's right. I assume you know Mr. Buffett.
Well, I did spend some time in South Florida. And, yes. I have to tell you, he's one of those people who's a throwback, like I was talking about, because he puts on those kind of shows. Mm. Man is just wonderful. He's so entertaining. And just a dead song, you know. I think he knows where he's thinking.
Well, gosh, the following the man has. I mean,
He refers to his fans as the parrot heads because they're all in South Florida and everything. I did a show with him at the Amy Dinner Key Auditorium, which I don't know if you know the place. I don't even know if it's there anymore, but it's outdoors.
Uh-huh.
It's like it's on the water, fish swimming past you. You know, it's one of those things. There's everything going on.
Yeah.
And some people are in boats. Some people are, in seats, because you can go there in any number of ways. And he just had people crazy, And like you said, they're my paradise. These are my people.
Mm-hmm.
And his people have a good time because Jimmy makes sure that they have a good time. And it's an amazing thing. I just love stuff like that. I love when someone will put themselves out enough to make sure that everyone has that kind of a good time. It's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, what a performer. To be brutally honest, he hasn't really had a hit record in a long time.
Jimmy never really had that many hits to begin with.
Yeah.
But, he was always been one of those performers that didn't have to.
No.
No. A friend of mine who's gone, was a soul, Harry Nilsson. And Harry never performed. They never toured. He's the only artist to this day who had a major record contract with a major label, had major hits, and never toured.
But he wrote some amazing songs, didn't he?
Oh, he wrote some fantastic songs, and everybody loved him, and it was just an amazing thing. And his fan base, to this day, people would just go crazy over his material.
Uh-huh.
But the fact of the matter is, he didn't tour. He didn't want to tour. He never thought it was necessary, which record company didn't like. The fact they proved that you really didn't have to piss them off big time.
But, I'll bet.
He he did what he wanted to do, but he was very honest about all of it. He was honest with his audience. You know, he made everyone understand what he believed. His beliefs were rather strong, and all very, very positive. What he did was he made people understand, sometimes with silliness, silly things, that we're all not that different. I don't know if you've seen the lime and the coconut video, where all of us need gorilla suits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the record company was, are you out of your mind? And they thought that people would not be able to relate to it, would not understand it, would not like it.
Yeah.
And his attitude was, you don't have a clue. Or as Harry said to the head of Warner Brothers, you need to buy a vowel.
Well, he had a friend, which I know you'd had several conversations with, John Lennon.
John, Harry, and I had a few, as we refer to them, lost weekends together. you know, these are people who knew how to have a good time, and they realized that, you know, life can be short, and, you know, you do what you need to do to have a good time and to enjoy yourself. As long as you don't hurt anybody, it doesn't matter what you do. The whole routine.
Mm-hmm.
But they could go on out and party like it was nobody's business. Because they were making so much money. You know, it was possible for them to do things that the rest of us could not do because we couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No.
But, you know, no, go on out with them, and all right, you go out, and you realize all of a sudden it's 3 days later, you know. And, you know, I do have to get back to work. Don't worry about it. What do you mean, don't worry about it, you know. But talk about creativity, you know. Harry could sit there and write a song at the drop of a hat.
Uh-huh.
John was so in love with Harry's talent, and it's only I could put it, he was so amazingly in love with Harry's talent. At one point in time, you know, he thought Harry should have been one of the Beatles. He should have been in the group because he was that good.
Uh-huh.
You know, but Harry could write things as amazing as the TV special he did for ABC called The Point.
Mm-hmm.
The Point was great.
Which to his dying day, bothered him that they never re-aired it. You know. And I think it was a terrible thing that they did. They only aired it the one time, and that was it.
I don't even think you can get it on a DVD, can you?
I don't know. I honestly
I have a copy of it.
The whole thing was it was really sad because it's a tremendous piece of work, and it teaches so many lessons. You know how it is with children can be so impressionable, and when you can teach them an important lesson,
yes,
an important life's lesson, you can't measure that. That's a measurable amount of material that means more than sometimes people will grasp or want to understand. And in terms of a television network, sometimes you look at it as strictly as, oh, well, I don't know, you know, if this is going to get that much in the way of ratings.
Mm-hmm.
If we play it again. You know, hey, it was critically acclaimed, you know, as where it is, I'm trying to try to be delicate here. I'm not sure they know where they park their head. You know? Maybe if they bend over, they'll find it.
My memory.
You know, I don't want to dwell on stuff like that. You know,
right.
Stuff we could talk about that's negative. You know, I know that a lot of people that ask me a lot of times the things that they're really interested in is some of the great stories about some amazing performers because they don't, there's things they never heard.
Uh-huh.
And I know when I get into telling those stories, usually, you know, oh my God, I didn't know that.
Well, we love those stories.
Like, all right, I'll give you one great connection that most people have no clue about.
Oh, great.
And that is the connection between Ella Fitzgerald and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh,
I got your interest now, don't I? I feel like Marilyn. Ella Fitzgerald was, you know, one of the, probably the best vocalist who ever lived. Marilyn Monroe was a movie star. And the studio said, we want you to do a musical. She'd never done a musical. Alan said, I don't know how to sing. So they said, here's a stack of Ella Fitzgerald records. Listen and learn. So Marilyn listened, learned. One night, she goes with her husband, Arthur Miller, to the Macambo in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to him, how come you never book Ella Fitzgerald here? And the owner of the Macambo said, we don't book black entertainers in Macambo in Hollywood.
Oh.
Marilyn said, if you will book her here, I will be here front row center every night, and you can advertise that. He said, are you serious? She said, yes. So they did, and she did. Marilyn became very good friends with Ella from that day on. And it was the fact that she helped to break the coal barrier. You know, and most people have never heard that story, but it's a fact that if it was not for Marilyn Monroe, you know, Ella Fitzgerald would never have been playing the Macambo. Who knows how many years it would have been until any of that changed.
Lord. Well, thank you.
It's just when people do understand each other and understand talent of each other, it's an important thing.
Well, gosh, thank you for sharing that with our audience. I had never heard that as well.
Well, it's, you know, it's nice to understand that sometimes people will do nice things for other people for no other reason other than it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we don't hear about too much of that anymore, but it's the way life should be, but, you know, if people would just understand, it's the same thing with dealing with animals, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a decent human being and understand that, you know, we have to share the planet with them, it's not like we had the lease and they came in and, you know, they broke our lease. You know,
right.
They were here first. You know, if you have respect for one another, whether it's us with the animals or whether it's entertainers or black and white or, you know, Adrian's, or if it's, we can go there, but if it's going to be even being turned around and people don't want to understand that there really is no difference between any of us, and that includes the difference that people want to believe that there are between Muslims and, you know, and Christians or whatever, it was all the same. You know, it would be nice if some people can understand that and want to wake up.
Well, our first conversations, you were so, you basically were quite direct.
What did I do now?
You were so direct on your feelings toward people that want to live with nature, and when nature comes around, they don't like it.
Yeah, it bothers me, you know, and anybody who's listening, if you live in Southern California, you hear this on the news all the time, that somebody's complaining that they need to come out and shoot these animals because, you know, they're showing up in their backyard and they're this and that. They were there before. Don't build your house where the animals live and you don't have a problem. But no, they have to build their homes wherever they want and then complain. And I'm sorry, I don't get it. I think that some people are just too stupid. I'm not sure everyone should be allowed to multiply. Just as stupid. There should be a quiz before they're allowed to, you know, have children. But it's what goes on. As you know, there are a lot of really, really ignorant people who think that they understand everything, who think that they know everything, and they don't want to understand, you know, about animals' rights. You know, and anybody who doesn't get a clue that they have rights, they're entitled to be here as much as we are. And hopefully some people are smart enough to get it, you know, and give them their space. If you can, you know, I see nothing wrong with coexisting and having a house out in the woods. I had the house in the woods in upstate New York when I lived up there. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. But, you know, I did see bears. And I didn't say, go home. You don't belong in my house. You know?
I said the same thing.
Yeah, I make light of it, but you understand what I mean. You know, it's rather foolish to think that, you know, you can build a home in the middle of wilderness and not expect, you know, the animals to show up.
I have a good friend that's very well-to-do, that has several acres down in Florida, and his wife refuses to move down there because they have alligators.
Yes, they do.
Lots of them. Close to 1 million, they say.
It's amazing, you know. But you know what? Maybe you should tell her this if you get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell her that I heard they never say a bad word about her.
That's right. That's what I've always
no,
said.
It's okay. No, please beat up on them. They say nice things about her, you know, in spite of herself, in spite of what she says.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of it. Yeah, you can't help but joke about some of this stuff because it is kind of foolish.
Oh, well, it's what we run into in this part of the country. People are alarmed because the coyote has spread all across this country because of the vast farmland that creates a perfect environment for rabbits and rodents, which, of course, coyotes just love. Of course, every farmer and rancher is convinced that the coyote is going to eat all their livestock, not knowing that most of their livestock is much bigger than the coyote anyway. And our good friend Billy Sandifer down in Padre Island, Texas, he says coyotes and wolves are God's dogs.
You know what? People are just ridiculous. I'm really grateful for people like you that are educated, you know.
Well, thank you.
You know, I'm not always sure they can educate the ones who are dumb as a stump. there are some people that you know, it's very difficult to educate certain people who, for whatever reason, either they don't want to learn, which is always, you know, a cute thing, but there are those that they refuse, for whatever reason. I think sometimes it's inconvenient. It's easier to believe what you want to believe because it makes your life be the way you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to understand about an animal. I don't have to understand that, you know, why I shouldn't go in the woods if I want to go in the woods. And, you know, why is that bear chasing me out of the berry patch and all that sort of stuff? But you and I, you know, if you've been around it, you understand. If you haven't been around it, you don't. If you want to learn about it, you do. And if you don't want to learn it about it, you don't. You know?
Well, I can still remember the time we were at a park and we had this wonderful alligator exhibit with a cement pond and nice, beautiful thing. And here in Indiana, this lady walks up to me and she says, sir, isn't it awful hot out there for this alligator? And I kind of looked at her for a moment, and then in her second breath, she said, does that alligator like swimming around in that green water? And I knew at that moment, Shelley, there was no reason at all to start a conversation. The only thing I could say was, ma'am, you might have a point.
I find it always humorous, I guess I should laugh about it, but I find it always humorous when people who don't know anything try to make judgments too.
Yeah.
You know, they don't necessarily understand. They could look at you and say, you know, why is this guy out here? What is he doing? You know, you can't bring snakes to my school, you know.
Yeah.
You get to learn anything, you know.
Yeah.
You can't learn about them if you're not exposed to them, but. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Ignorance is an amazing thing. It breeds everything from, you know, hatred and bigotry and everything else because it's a fact of life. You know, if children aren't exposed to them, how will they ever learn?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You know? Well, that's the whole point.
And I can speak as a parent, you know, just by saying, I want my child to know about wildlife. I want him to understand. So he doesn't do something stupid and get killed.
Yeah.
You know, I want him to respect it, you know. You have to learn to have respect for Mother Nature, you know. I think some of us are learning now, Mother Nature's the best of what we've done to her environment, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the weather, crying out loud, you know.
Yeah. I know it. It's the, of course, there's no such thing as global warming.
Oh, jeez. Okay. don't get me started with that. Al Gore will call up in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, we want him to call up.
You know, I wish I could get him to, you know, free up some time. He's, you know, amazing man to talk to, amazing man to listen to. Not only his knowledge, but his love of the planet is just so obvious, and some people don't get it. And I, some people will still make fun of him, which really ticks me off too. Don't get me started now.
I won't. I promise.
No,
we were talking
about
animals, and on a previous conversation, I don't know how we got there, but you were talking about working with or knowing the group of the '60s, the Animals, and one of my favorite groups of the British Invasion.
Oh, you know, during the '60s, I got to work with so many different groups, and you know, they were all very interesting. They're all a lot of fun in their own way. Some of the stories are just a little bizarre. Just people were a little bizarre, but it was the time too. You know, it was that time. You know, everybody did weird things. You know,
yeah.
You'd be amazed you picked yourself up and up the street and said, "You could smoke it." You know, hey, look at this. I didn't think you can keep it lit. You know,
had you? Had you seen anything in musical history that compared to that time? 63, 4.
No, I really don't think there's anything close to that time. Although, one of the Marilyn Monroe stories, her manager Norman Granz was known to be, you know, a very outspoken critic, and he didn't want people mistreating black artists, and went on and on and on and on, and he threatened people, if you don't treat my black artists right, I'm going to cause trouble and piss people off. That's all I could say, is it really pissed people off. So they went to appear in this place in Texas, and they go there, and you know it, they raid Ella's dressing room, and they arrest everybody. Louis Illinois Jacquette was smoking pot.
Yeah.
And shooting craps with Dizzy Gillespie. You know, that's the closest thing to what goes on nowadays, or what it has gone. But with all of that, you know, one of the cops said that her, "Aren't you that singer Ella Fitzgerald?" And she said, "Yes." He says, "My wife loves you." No autograph. So she said, "Honey, if you'll let us the hell out of here, I'll give you as many autographs as you want." So she gave autographs, and they let them go.
Really? Wow. Well, good for them.
But as far as that, you know, anything similar that has gone on, I think times are the same but different. How's that for an oxymoron? Well, maybe
there
I'm just more. But, you know, no, I think that the more things change, the more they stay the same. But there's different things that are different in a certain way to each generation. But there's a commonality to all of it. You know, it's just like there's a commonality of us and the animals and the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Go on and on and on. You know, we're all interconnected, and we're generation to generation.
I know it.
So.
I agree with everything, and I second everything that you said.
You know, and in the '60s, a lot of the groups were named, you know, the Animals, the Beatles. You know, come up with names, but. And they were all good. So many different groups were just really all very good. You know, it's all very different between the British groups and American groups.
Well, Shelley, it's been such a pleasure. The hour has flown by.
I'm happy to be man of the hour, and now the hour's up.
Man, what if I hate to put you on the spot, but I would love to have you come back on the show again.
Anytime, Larry. If there's anything I can do, I'm happy to, and you guys are really great.
What an honor, boy. Dr. Day.
We're not worthy.
I just want to say one thing. Anybody who's listening, you know, adopt a pet. Go visit, you know, any place you can. Donate any place to the wildlife centers. Help Larry, you know, educate kids. You know, it's our responsibility to leave this place better, much better than we have. What do I got?
Well,
I'm done.
Sir, thank you so much. It was just simply an honor to have you on the program. You're now a friend of the show, and we love what you stand for, and it's just amazing. And gosh, he has a million more stories. So, Dr. Day, we definitely have to have Mr.
We haven't scratched the surface.
We haven't even begun.
Well, I just hope that I'm end up on the Animal News one day.
Well, you never know.
What did he do now?
What did he do?
Well, Shelley, we'll put you in there.
Yeah, well, what we'll do, he'll do one of those stories where a zoo wants to name an animal, and we'll suggest that they name it Shelly, and after Shelly Leibowitz, and we'll work on that. But what an honor, sir. Thank you so very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have fun.
I'm so glad you have fun. We want to tell everybody the next week on the show, Joan Embry. Want to remind everyone, tell your friends, because you can download tonight's show, all of our shows from the past. I think Dr. Day said we're close to 90 or so, so it's absolutely incredible. We'd like to once again thank Shelley Leibowitz, as always, Melissa Hovey, our studio producer, and Wayne Larson for a fine job as technical engineer and handling the music tonight, Jim Johnson. This is Larry Batson, and you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.